SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Scott Jackson along with Mike Prada from Bullets Forever and also SB Nation DC with us as we get ready to dive into the story, maybe not just the week, Mike, but perhaps will end up being the story of the NFL season, because everybody's taken this pinata out and batted around this week. Yeah. The strange but true tales of Donovan McNabb's benching in Detroit and the even stranger parts, the reasons for it. And joining us right now is Grant Paulson, our 106.7 The Fan Redskins beat reporter, who does not have any cardiovascular fitness issues as far as we know right now. And Grant, what in the world must it have been like to cover that team this week? It must have been a lot of fun, even on an abbreviated week.
Scotty, did you forget what I looked like?
I was like,
I have many cardiovascular problems. Mike can attest to this. When we worked the Wizards games last year, Mike, that was a long walk to the locker room, post game area.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Nobody ever came in to fill in for you the last 2 minutes of the locker room, did they?
That's true. Occasionally they had to. Yeah, we had to send some people. But no, it was just a weird, weird week at Redskins Park. Here's a couple things we learned this week, or at least that were re-solidified for us. Number one, this team knows how to derail a season in Detroit. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
At this point. Number two, the Redskins just can't go an extended period of time without drama. Because even if they lose in Detroit, they fall to 4-4, they squander an opportunity to tie for the best win count in the conference going into their bye week at the midway point of the season officially, for having played 8 games. Even if all that happens and Donovan McNabb finishes that game, they aren't the talk of the National Football League. And yet,
right,
going into a bye week with 2 weeks of that, really basically us reaching for conversation, they just make us a meal and bring it to the table and say, feast on this. You're right. The only thing weirder than the decision, I think, for the Redskins to have benched Donovan McNabb was Mike Shanahan to have used multiple excuses. You know, first the dog ate his homework, and then we found out that, you know, I guess he couldn't do it because he never went home the night before, or he lost his book bag. Who knows what happened, but it's just been a wacky few days.
Grant, of all the explanations that Shanahan gave, the cardiovascular thing, the two-minute drill thing, the injury thing, which of them do you think is closest to the truth about what's really going on?
It's a great question, Mike. I think the closest to the truth was probably what Shanahan said directly after the game, which was that he thought Rex Grossman gave his team the best chance to win because he knows the system better and because the terminology was a non-concern in a hurried pace with no timeouts. Now, I say that's closer to the truth. I don't think that's actually the truth. If you're asking me what I think happened and what a couple players have kind of guessed to me off the record, is that the Redskins offensively weren't playing well. Part of that was because their offensive line wasn't blocking well enough for Donovan McNabb, but I think what you can safely assume is that Mike Shanahan was not content with the offensive effort. That with 1:45 to go and his team a possession away from a victory, he felt like they needed a spark. Because this isn't basketball and you can't go to wholesale substitutions and bring 5 new fresh guys onto the court to play offensive lines, I think on a whim and a decision maybe he might regret at this point deep down if he's just talking to himself, he decided to make a quarterback change to see if he could get something out of Rex Grossman. It backfired, and then he had to answer to it. But that would be my guess as to what happened. So I would say that just making a change to go to Grossman because he gave him a good chance to win is closer than that Donovan McNabb hasn't been on a treadmill lately.
Well, that's a good point. Well, hey, Grant, what about this part of it? Because, I mean, Mike, you know this, and the site, I mean, really, people were pretty much siding with Donovan McNabb and astonished at what Mike Shanahan had done. Here's a guy who got all kinds of support for the way he handled Albert Haynesworth, even at the end where there was some kind of swaying away from him. People still, for the most part, he probably had the majority in that case. It seems like he's in danger not only losing the fan base here, but what about the team? Where do you think that stands at this point when they do come back from the bye?
Yeah, I went on the site, and I often do to kind of get people's temperature, other than just the people on Twitter that at reply, because sometimes those are the same people, and it's not the best a microcosm of the masses. So I did see what a lot of them were saying, and I could see where the fans kind of, if there's a line in the dirt, hopped on the player side here, and they didn't necessarily do that with the Haynesworth versus Shanahan saga. I don't think so, Scott, to answer your question, that Shanahan's going to run the risk of losing this locker room. I'll say that I don't think players are going to forget about this anytime soon. I think this is a situation where he benched a guy who is maybe the most popular player in that locker room right now. And he was traded. He gave up a second and was turning, it looks like it's going to turn into a conditional third-round pick for Donovan McNabb to basically win you that game in that situation. Because you haven't had a guy in a decade who can march the field and get that victory like McNabb's done 15 times in his career. To have benched him then, a lot of players were saying, look, I thought he was hurt. When I found out he wasn't, we were all in shock. But everyone's in line with Mike Shanahan. They have been since day one. If nothing else, they still understand, guys, they've come so very far from last year on the sidelines. It's a professional operation. They're prepared to win football games. They're never really outsmarted on Sunday. And so they like their head coach. I just think they wish he would have thought a little differently in Detroit with 2 minutes to go.
I want to get into the discussion with Donovan and Kyle Shanahan. There was a bit of a miscommunication over who calls the plays at the end of the game. I guess I'm kind of curious, you know, and whether also whether Kyle, you know, told McNabb that he might sit. You know, does it make sense that a team wouldn't practice a 2-minute drill and would have like would do their 2-minute drill the way I guess Kyle Shanahan suggested they would? Is that common? Is that does that make sense to you?
No, Mike doesn't. I mean, Shanahan said, the head coach, Mike Shanahan said, that they had gone several weeks without practicing the 2-minute drill. He was asked why, and he said because McNabb wasn't healthy enough to do it. Well, then why wasn't Rex Grossman practicing it? If he, in essence, is your, you know, in baseball, you've got like the utility infielder, you got a pinch hit specialist, you know, whatever, guy coming off the bench in the eighth inning. If Rex Grossman is your 2-minute drill specialist at quarterback this season, which, at least for right now, is what it assumes like he has been for this team because it's the only time we've seen him play. So why wasn't he practicing that? It doesn't make any sense. And I think the question you ask is actually, to me, what's still the most fascinating aspect of this because as it's all kind of been hashed out and talked about and discussed, the couple of things we still really don't have answers to where stories are conflicting come with the coordinator and the quarterback. But Kyle Shanahan says that he and Mike, one or the other, told Donovan McNabb before the game, if there was a 2-minute drill with no timeouts at the end of the game with the ball game on the line, they'd probably go to Rex Grossman. When McNabb was told that we were told that by the coordinator, that was the first time he'd ever heard that. I mean, he did not know that that was the case, and he actually said he was glad they didn't warn him because then you worry all game about why they don't trust you with the game on the line. But that's still something I think we got to figure out. The other thing, as you said, is the play calling. Now, I talked to Kyle Shanahan after the game in the locker room very briefly as he was heading out to get on the bus to get over to the airport. And I said, look, who calls the plays in the final 2 minutes? Is that the quarterback's job in this offense in a hurried pace, or is that still you? And he said that he called the plays. That's what he told me. Now, Rex Grossman kind of let it slip that he called some of his own plays. That could be part of that comfort. But I think if McNabb was on the field, it would have been all Shanahan. Whether or not it was with the 8 car, we really still aren't sure.
We're here with Grant Paulson, Skins beat reporter here on 106.7 The Fan. It's SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prater with you here. All right, I don't know, maybe you've, again, going back to the polling issue with fans, I've yet to find anybody that thinks there's a chance in the world that Donovan McNabb will be a Redskin next year. I know he's taken the high road better than any athlete in the history of the world, but do you see any scenario that he comes back with his team next year after what we've seen so far and all the whispers about how they feel about him to this point?
Not really. I mean, I would say it's higher than 0%. I mean, here now, the Redskins in the past have overspent to acquire and keep players they like. But that was the past. Bruce Allen isn't a guy who likes to open up the checkbook any more than he has to. And so I would say if you're asking for a percentage chance out of 100, you know, it's somewhere between 10 and 15%. I would be really surprised if he's back here after what happened. But part of this, Scott, we can't forget. There's a lot of football still to be played, number one. And number two, now this guy is not playing at an extremely high level. McNabb's been good, not great. And even by his standards last year as a Pro Bowler, in what was really a down season, if you talk about the mean for his career or where he's been statistically, he's down from even that. And so how many suitors there are out there is going to determine that too. Now, if there's not three or four people in line to take you out on a Friday night, then you start settling for the six instead of the eight. Now, the Redskins are his six, so they'll be his fallback option. I still don't think he'll find a better date.
No, but what I'm saying is, do you think the Redskins even have any you know feelings of moving forward with him? Because they haven't signed him yet, and now you hear all this stuff makes you think that there is no intention to bring him back.
Well, I don't think either of them right now necessarily will have the other as their one seed option. I don't think McNabb will want to stay here if it's his choice. I don't think the Redskins will pick him over other players. I know there's been rumors this week about Jay Cutler and other guys the Redskins would try to trade for. And that would surprise me less than retaining Donovan McNabb, because it's clear right now, as you said, based on the fact that he didn't get the vote of confidence as a starter, based on the fact that publicly they haven't been all that supportive of how he's played, and thirdly, Scott, based on the fact he was just benched this past week,
yeah,
he clearly isn't in his coaching staff, I don't think, wheelhouse moving forward as their guy that they want to build around. So, yeah, it would surprise me from both parties if they're together next year.
We're talking to Grant Paulson, Redskins beat reporter for 106.7 The Fan. Grant, I don't know if you saw what Jake Plummer, who, of course, got benched by Mike Shanahan when they were in Denver, he said this to Yahoo's shutdown corner. He said, "It just seemed like every game I could have completed these four more passes or these five more shots here and there, and it would have been perfect, and that just wasn't my personality. But Shanahan wanted perfection, and he wore a lot of us down there, and that he's still searching for his next John Elway." Do you think that Shanahan's expectations for McNabb are unrealistic, and do you think this kind of this quest for perfection is A, legitimate, and B, might it wear down the team at some point?
That's a really good question. I saw that story, and you know, Jake Plummer's comments kind of almost ring true, I think, in the Redskins' locker room. They know that this head coach is demanding a ton from them. It's a little bit of this Herman Boone type mentality, you know, where if you've seen Remember the Titans, he just wasn't going to get anything less than flawlessness out of his team. And you know, they rallied together in high school football, went unbeaten, so it all worked out. And that's just not going to happen in the NFL. Mike Shanahan's had a lot of success for a long time. Problem is, in his last 3 years, he went 500. And what you hear from coaches all the time, I was talking to somebody within the last couple of days who's been a coach in the league, and they said, look, you know, you've got to at some point understand what you are. Because if your players aren't on your side, nobody's going to be. His point was basically that Mike Shanahan has to have realistic expectations about this season. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't be aiming for the playoffs or Super Bowl, but that all of his players in year one in the system, with really the exact same talent the Redskins had last year as a four-win team, aren't necessarily going to be the guys to get him there. So he's got to scale some of that back. I'm surprised that he hasn't, but I think he anticipated Donovan McNabb being a lot farther along in this offense than he has been. I don't know how unrealistic that is, but if he thought his team was going to be 8-0 and 7-1, again, it's just probably not all that feasible. Doesn't mean it's not right to assume that, but one way to get there, one way to be better than they are, is to not send messages in Week 8 with 2 minutes to go by benching a guy to say, hey, if he can get benched, he can all get benched. And that's part of the reason why you have struggles, is that you're always kind of in this power struggle trying to prove to your team who's wearing the pants. I genuinely feel like the Redskins know right now who is. Jake Plummer's comments right there said even he knew. But those two never got along because, as he put it, look, he wanted a lot out of me I couldn't get him. So Shanahan's going to keep searching for his guys. He doesn't have them yet. He inherited a team, brought a couple of players in, and the guys that are quote-unquote his are playing. Corey Lichtensteiger at left guard,
yep,
as an example, over Derek Dockery. So he's going to put those guys out on the field and roll with them and try to get his wins. Right now he's doing that 500 at a 500 clip about 50% of the time, and that's not good enough, and so he's going to keep searching.
But Grant Paulson, great stuff, man. As always, keep it up. Enjoy your bye weekend, and we'll talk to you here in the near future. Take care, buddy.
I'm looking forward to seeing some actual football that isn't the Redskins. I haven't done that all year.
Yeah, a lot more touchdowns.
That's right.
Yeah, there's
that.
Yeah.
Get the red zone working, man. The NFL Sunday Ticket. I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah. Just
well, and teams that score in the red zone too, Grant, which will be completely new to you.
just don't watch the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know
that won't help you. That won't help you see any good football. Hey, good stuff, Grant. As always, take care, man. Grant Paulson with us here on SB Nation Radio. Coming up, Ken Morongola, the Hogs Haven man, will give us his thoughts on the halfway point of the Redskins with us here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson, Mike Prada, 106.7 The Fan.